head out to the lake and get a little more fishing in. Maybe you want to take Winston Stockdale along with you. I think he could help you catch a few fish. It's been an amazing summer for 18-year-old Winston and his younger brother, Will. We talked to Winston, back earlier this summer after they got the win at the Premier's Cup up at Tobin past Nipawin there, but they also wrapped up the season with another big win. So we got him back on the show here today. Hey, Winston.
Hey, Brent, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You're having a great summer.
Yeah, it was a pretty awesome summer. Can't complain at all.
Well, you know, it's one thing to catch a lot of fish, but you caught a few bags of money along the way here, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a really fun summer, me and Will, fishing around the prairies and cashing a couple checks. The tournament season treated us well, that's for sure.
How many tournaments were you in over the summer?
I think I ended up doing six. I ended up doing four or five with Will. So it was a pretty eventful and fun summer fishing around the province.
And did you make money on all of them?
Actually, yeah. Pretty awesome. Me and Will cashed checks at all five events we did. So that's pretty rare, but nice when you come home with some money. So, yeah.
No kidding. Well, we're not talking a few dollars here. We're talking about some pretty serious prizes, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, no, especially that Rowan's one that we'll get into. That was pretty amazing. Doug Kramer does an awesome job at that event, and it's amazing how well that tournament pays. Even if you get fifth place, it's like you've won a tournament and it pays so well. It's awesome.
Like, what kind of numbers are you talking here?
Well, I know for the Rowan's one we did, I think fourth place is 10 grand, second is 25, and then first is, of course, 50. So it's pretty unreal money just to fish an hour from home in Regina here.
That was the one, the last Mountain Fall one?
Yeah, that was the last Mountain Fall Walleye Classic. 160 teams, and it's the biggest field in Canada for walleye fishing, yeah.
So I'm sure there's other, you know, very talented fishermen out there. We just haven't heard their story. But with all the attention you've received, you and your brother, and the success you've had, are you finding people coming to you for some advice?
Yeah, I've been really blessed. I've had a lot of people reach out, people asking to go on guide trips now and next year. It'll be fun. And then I've been on some podcasts for some local guys in Manitoba, and yeah, it's just been really fun with people reaching out and then giving people tips and just trying to help other people catch fish too, because at the end of the day, that's always the goal, is just catching fish.
Well, that's it. And at the end of the day, for these tournaments, for people that aren't familiar with them, is it the number of fish you catch or is it the weight of the fish that you catch?
Yeah, that's awesome to clarify that, because a lot of people ask me. So all the tournaments we do in Saskatchewan are your five biggest a day, but three have to be under the provincial slot limit of 21.5. So in a really good day, you'll have three fish under 21.5, but close to that line, so like 21 inches, and then you have your two biggest fish. So, for example, at Rowan's, that day we won, we had three 20-inchers, and then we had two 32-inchers that weighed like 10 pounds. So we had a combined weight of for five fish for 10 pounds.
Gee whiz.
Or for 30 pounds, sorry. Yeah. Pretty amazing.
And how long have you been fishing? You're 18 years old. When did you start?
Yeah, so my fishing story kind of started like a lot of kids. My mom bought me a rod from Walmart when I was four, started fishing off the dock, and then really blessed to have people take me out on their boats, and then the family bought a boat. And see, I've been fishing for 14 years now, and it's been a pretty fun journey.
What's your favorite lure? What do you use when you're fishing for walleye? You go leeches or what?
Yeah, for me, I really enjoy using a jig and a leech. It's a super easy way to fish. It's really effective, and it's also super simple, because sometimes you get complicated. You throw all these hooks in your tackle box, but sometimes you just got to use what works. And if I narrow it down to just a jig, I know what I'm going to use, and then it's just a matter of finding the fish. So it makes it kind of a fun puzzle to try and figure it all out.
Fisherman extraordinaire Winston Stockdale and his 15-year-old brother Will having great success on the fishing circuit here over the summer. I saw some information too. Could you explain? They're using some new technology when it comes to the weighing of the fish in these tournaments. What's that all about?
Yeah, so the Saskatchewan Walleye Trail, which shout out to them, I'm on the board there, and they do a really awesome job of helping run these four events in Saskatchewan that are put on, two on Last Mountain, two at Diefenbaker. So on the trail, we have live scales. So you bring your fish in, you weigh them in. And back in the day, the weights would not be shared in any way. But now with this new system, people can simply go online, look up Sask Walleye Trail results. And we have live weigh-ins of all of our tournaments, so you can follow along and watch all the people weigh in. And it's pretty awesome then, because you get to watch your family and friends weigh in, and you can see what your buddy just weighed in. And it's a pretty cool system. It keeps it all on the up and up, and it's, of course, it's just nice when someone's not at the event to be able to see, you know, what your buddy weighed and log on and check it out.
When I look at the entries for these tournaments, like there are a ton of people sign up. Do you get to know pretty well all your fishing competitors?
Yeah, that's been, like, that's besides, like, obviously the fishing aspect, my favorite part of tournament fishing is just the community. You know, I've met so many awesome friends and just met so many awesome people throughout fishing, whether it's at Nipawin or on Last Mountain. There's just so many awesome people that are involved. I mean, I could read off a name of, like, 100 people that I consider close friends now that I've met through tournaments, and it's just super fun because at these tournaments, you get to go to the rules meeting, and you get to go to the weigh-ins, and you get to talk to your buddies, and it's just super cool to talk to all these awesome guys and learn about their fishing tricks, too.
How do you get ready for a tournament? I'm guessing you go to the lake or the river, wherever it is you're fishing, a couple of days ahead of time, do some pre-fishing scouting. Is that how it works?
Yep. So that's kind of the standard. At the Rowan tournament we were just at, there'd be, out of the 160 teams, most of those teams would pre-fish anywhere from 2 to 7 days. You come up, you stay on the lake, and a pre-fish day kind of just consists of waking up early at like 5 or 6, put the boat in the water, you go try lots of spots, and then you kind of try to discern where you want to fish on tournament day so that come tournament day you're fishing the best water to try yourself the chance to win.
How much technology goes into fishing nowadays? I know there's been, you know, sonar machines, whatever you call them, a big part of it for many years. Is there any other technology that helps you when you're out there?
Yeah. So we've had a lot of new technology come out. We've had maps come out that are made by Hummingbird on Lake Master, so you can see the whole lake, the depths, and have it outlined to kind of know where you can safely boat and what good spots would look like. And then we've also had this thing come out in the last couple of years called forward-facing sonar. So instead of reading below the boat, this new thing called forward-facing sonar, it's a transducer that shoots out away from the boat, so we can put it in the water. And when Will and I are fishing, we can see fish up to 100 feet away. And then we can even discern how big they are, if it's like a 2-pounder or a 6-pounder or a 10-pounder, and then we decide if we want to catch it or not.
Gee whiz, that's really impressive technology. Okay, so you've had this great summer, great success at these tournaments. What's next? Are you going to go down the road of doing more as a professional fisherman, or are you going to go back to more of a business as a guide?
You know what? In about 10 days here, the Vanity Cup will be at Nipawin, so I'm doing that with Josh Sanger, so I'm pretty excited to go do that. And then from there, I think it's looking like this winter we're going to get the boat ready, and we've talked as a family, and I think the goal next year is to go down and do the National Walleye Tour in the States and fish as a pro, so we're looking at doing that. It's definitely not written in stone. It might happen, it might not, but it's definitely something to look forward to now because I'd like to go give it a crack in the States while I'm still young and able. So that's the goal. No matter what, we will be definitely doing some guiding next spring. I'm really excited to look to do that, to guide on Last Mountain and the Chain Lakes. But we'll also be fishing lots of tournaments because that nothing gets you going in the morning like blast off and going to try to catch a big walleye. It's just the best feeling in the world.
Do you do any ice fishing in the winter?
Yeah, we do. We ice fish quite a bit on the Chain Lakes and Last Mountain, too. It's a little harder in the winter. It gets pretty cold out here, as you know, but it's fun to go sit in a shack and catch a couple walleyes when you can.
Yeah, always good talking to you, Winston. Great summer behind you, and all the best in the future.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brent. I really appreciate you having me on. It was obviously a dream come true this summer, and it's awesome to come talk on the radio. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, Winston. Winston Stockdale and his 15-year-old brother, Will, having a good amount of success at fishing tournaments on the prairies here over the summer. We're heading towards noon. What do we got coming up? Well, after 12 noon, you live in Saskatoon, and you're still dealing with all those detours. Holy smokes. I just, you know, maybe it's just the part of the city that I travel a lot in, but man, there's a lot of neighborhood type construction, different streets and such. And it continues. And then, of course, you got the Broadway Bridge project as well. When are they going to be done with all this stuff? Thank goodness the weather is on their side. We're going to get a update on the city road work with Matt Jerkowitz, Director of Construction and Design with the City of Saskatoon. And we'll get to that after 12 noon. Brent Laux with you. Beautiful Tuesday across Saskatchewan. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show. Evan's back on Thursday on 980 CJME and CKOM. I love this time of year. I'm an autumn guy. I'm a fall guy. I hate what's coming because I'm not much of a winter guy. And I find the older I get, the more I dislike cold. But I love autumn. I love fall. Always like the change. I like summer until I don't like summer. You know what I mean? You get kind of tired of the heat. I know not everybody's like that. But I like the seasons change. It's nice to see the colors and the temperature and angle of the sun. All that. All good. So I'm keeping an eye on this story out in British Columbia. A lot of people are very much connected to it, want to know how this is playing out at this ostrich farm. You know, I get the emotional side of it. These people, this is their livelihood. They have 400 of these massive birds, these ostriches, that have been part of their life for a number of years. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency ruled that that flock must be destroyed. Culled is the word they're using. So here's the deal. Yesterday, the RCMP showed up in significant numbers. A significant number of people from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency are there. They brought in waste disposal trucks and other equipment. The owners have been told they must leave the site today. They have said, you can no longer be here. We are going to conduct the business that they are there to do, and that is to kill these 400 ostriches. Now, if you're not totally familiar with it, and I don't pretend for 1 minute to know all the ins and outs of this, but it all started basically with an infection of bird flu in that flock late last year, a year ago December, and 69 birds died from the avian flu. This avian flu is nasty business. Gets into bird populations. Now, the defenders of this flock are saying, well, yes, the avian flu was here and it killed 69 birds last year, but none have died since. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency says their testing shows that this is a very strong, intense strain of avian flu that killed these 69 birds. Everybody out there has got a theory as to why the rest of the flock hasn't got sick and died. Is it, you know, flock immunity that's happened here? And this is what the owners are saying. The owners are saying, listen, instead of killing all of our birds, why don't you use them for some scientific investigation? Why has it not killed them at this point, a year after these 69 other birds died? The Food Inspection Agency says that they will err on the side of caution, and that caution is, of course, to destroy these birds. You know, I'm sure it's going to happen. I know that the family had said they were trying one more legal step. They were trying to get an appeal to the Supreme Court of Canada. I haven't seen anything new on that today, but time is running out for this flock and for the people involved in it. As the police and the CFIA people arrived there yesterday in some significant numbers. I know it's kind of brutal to think about, but I was just wondering, like, these ostriches are massive creatures. I wonder how they would kill 400 of them. Like, I don't need any graphic photographs or graphic explanation sent to me, but that's a significant job. And, you know, I know that other people in the livestock industry, things happen over the years. You know, there's herds of cattle over the years that have had to be destroyed because of any number of diseases, foot and mouth, anthrax. It happens. And when you've got large assemblies of animals, these diseases can get in there and cause all kinds of problems, and then more problems if it spreads. I don't know who's right in this story. It's a difficult story for the family. It's a difficult story for the people that have to enforce these rules with the CFIA. But as it stands right now, as we're, you know, just coming up on noon in Saskatchewan, so what are we talking out there? It's probably 11 in the morning or so. The owners have been told vacate the premises so that the CFIA can go about the business that they are there to do. We shall see how it plays out. On a far more lighter topic, we were talking earlier about the survey from Canadian Restaurant Association showing, no big surprise, fewer people are eating out in restaurants, although there was a significant bump up in the number of people ordering food in, making use of food delivery services. And I got to admit, I'm a little bit guilty on that. You got to understand my situation. My wife and I sold our acreage last January, moved to the city. We had never experienced skip the dishes, DoorDash, Uber Eats. It was all new to us, and we kind of maybe went a little overboard on it. I think I backed off a little bit on it right now. But we were also talking about, in the survey, it said more and more people say they eat cereal as a meal, not necessarily breakfast. They eat cereal, perhaps, for their dinner. And I could do that, you know, because I like to kind of eat earlier in the day. You know, I'm a bigger eater at lunchtime. By the time dinner time rolls around, like, I go to bed usually 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, so I don't want a big full belly on me. So I like the idea of having cereal. But then I was mentioning, I like Cheerios with fruit. I like Raisin Bran, unless the raisins are all dry and chewy. And those are kind of my go-to. Shredded wheat sometimes as well. And I guess in the winter I'll have porridge. I got a lot of good comments at 1-877-332-8255. Wayne says you should eat the Kellogg Raisin Bran. Yeah, there's Kellogg and Post, isn't there? Wayne says what you do, though, is flip the bag. Start at the bottom of the bag by flipping it, and you'll get more raisins through the whole bag. And I get that, yeah, because the raisins do settle out. Thank you for that important bit of information. Colleen, what was it Colleen was telling me? We haven't changed our snacking habits, but we do eat out much less. I'm a big believer in supporting small businesses, including restaurants, but it's tough to go out to eat when your lunch bill is $50 and then they ask for a 20% tip. It should be against the law to add a tip on top of the PST and the liquor tax. A tip only on the subtotal, and it should never be automatically added. I think a lot more people are, fair to say, hardening their heart a bit. You know, when they pass you the machine and it's got the tip options of 18, 20, 22, and you say, okay, well, I'll do the 18. Or are you going to the put in your own tip, or are you zeroing? Some situations, come on, you can't expect a tip at some of these places that you go to and they don't do anything but put your food in a bag and hand it to you. Everybody's got their own choices on that. So I understand fully why people are spending less on restaurants. I didn't get any uptake from the people when I said Canadians are drinking less booze. The survey showed 41% of Canadians surveyed say they are drinking less alcohol. Well, again, have you checked the price of your favorite bottle of wine or the beer that you consume? Love to hear from you. If you got some thoughts on that, at 1-877-332-8255. All the road work for people in Saskatoon, is it going to get done before the snow flies? We're getting a construction update here coming up after the news. You're listening to the Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.